It is the Chicagoverse podcast on the Dynasty Podcast Network, featuring interviews with Chicago's premier artists in industry and creatives and culture leaders. Hosted by Haima Black. Welcome to Chicago.
Haima Black, recording live Dynasty Podcast. We are at the Moxie Hotel, in River North in Chicago. It's a new property. If you haven't been here, swing by. If it sounds really nice. I'm working with them, it's because I'm working with them. But I love this opportunity because And they have a podcast booth, and they're letting me book podcasts here. So I'm recording my podcast tonight, but we have an open call for Chicago podcasters who want to do this. And, man, Slime, if you want to do this here,
Holy shit, I could do this.
So let's introduce. We have in the booth with me, closing out my night of interviews here, the week of Lollapalooza. I'm sitting here with Slime, a.k.a. Green Slime. How are you doing, man?
I'm chilling, man. I'm feeling great. I just came back from L.A., you know, smoking the good smoke.
Yeah, I'm moving these headphones. They couldn't see your face. Yeah.
I probably should put these headphones on.
You can put
them
on if you want. It's up to you.
I like to hear things.
Yeah. So,
they said they can't.
I know. We had to turn off the speakers. Hold on a second.
Okay.
I'll go let them know. Yeah.
Hey, guys. I'm alone recorded. I'm going to tell you to do some things that aren't good for your personal health. Number one, drop out of school. I was just telling people to do stuff.
Yeah. So, you just came back from L.A., you're saying, right?
Yeah, came back from L.A. I was out there with Mick Jenkins shooting a video for his new album, which I got a couple beats on, you know what I'm saying? A couple songs, so making my little... producer debut, I guess, in the official world of Spotify and iTunes and shit.
That's legitimate. And you know what? I want to talk all about the Mick Jenkins work and everything you're doing with the show. But we always, the first time we have somebody on, we start at the kind of the beginning. Like, how did creative work and your creative identity start for you? When did that happen?
Well, it's a long story, but pretty much my mother is a painter, and my father is... He's like a business guy. He's from Jamaica, Jamaican immigrant. And they were both just really into music. So I always was hearing music around the house, just art in general. So it wasn't even ever like a thing. Like art has always been like normal to me, like a normal thing. Like it's never been like, you know what I'm saying? Like being an artist has never been like some far away, distant
alternative options.
Yeah, it's always been like everyone's an artist. Like everyone has a creative thing they do. Like that's kind of how my mom raised me. So I've been writing a long time. I can't even remember. Just like poetry and little stuff and performing, doing covers of other songs, you know, Prince and shit when I was in kindergarten and first grade and stuff. And then when I was 12, my cousin, he had an MPC 2000 XL, great piece of production equipment,
right?
And I kind of like would mess around with it all the time and get in trouble. He finally went to college, left it at home. I got to play with it, so that's when I really started like producing a lot. And then it's just been like an ongoing like cycle of producing, DJing, and MCing for, you know, 16 years or something like that. And then just recently, I came into the idea of, oh, let me do a talk show, you know?
Yeah. So. I want to chop all that up. So when you were growing up, was this all in Chicago?
Yeah, it was all in Chicago. I was born in Chicago, raised in Chicago, Morgan Park, 115th and Vincennes.
Yeah.
You know, look me up.
Sorry. So you start producing, you know, messing around with equipment that your cousin left behind.
When he was like beating my ass at first. Like I was erasing his shit. Because if you know about the MPC, it's all the memory is held on a floppy disk. So it doesn't take a lot of stuff. So he would make a beat and just storing the sounds he made the beat with and his beat would make it full.
Right.
So if I want to do anything, I have to erase his shit. So he would be pissed, like super pissed. I used to get beat up. Like I used to steal his tapes, Bone Thugs and Harmony, Michael Jackson, Crucial Conflict, all that shit. So
wow, so like late 90s, early 2000s?
Late. This was like mid-90s.
That's
like mid... He had mid-90s music, but it was, early 2000s that
okay.
I was doing this.
I was going to say, like, because the Crucial Conflict kind of threw me there.
But
Bone Thugs, I mean, that stuff was huge.
Yeah.
But Crucial Conflict was something you had to be in the know to know about in Chicago.
I think that's just because he was from Chicago. So
yeah.
He was like a big Wu-Tang and... Bone Thugs.
Well, who wasn't at that time?
Man? Yeah, you're
like,
right.
That was the.
So I always looked up to Wu-Tang. For me, is like, I can't even. There's no word to describe.
They're like the Beatles. They're like, yeah, the right.
Even like more than music, it's like life. Like they've guided me through life.
they're definitely one of those musical acts, like a Beatles, like a Zeppelin, like that. It kind of represents more than just like, yeah, oh, they make songs.
Yeah,
like it's an entire
the
like
music
entity.
Is like the after effect of, you know what I'm saying? Like the music is the smallest part of it to me, really. Like,
I think they provided an identity,
yeah,
to a lot of people. I mean,
exactly.
I think that's what the best music does. Like, you see that right now with Chance the Rapper and a lot of the younger generation. But it's like, you look at the acts that have mattered to so many people, and it has provided,
yeah,
a template. It's provided, especially
it's like
when
a whole
you're
lifestyle,
young,
a whole world to come into, and just the, yeah, understanding of how to look at the world around you. So
when you're in sixth or seventh or eighth or ninth grade, you're like, I don't know what the fuck anything, yeah, means, but like Nirvana does or Wu-Tang does,
yeah,
or whoever.
Man, especially feeling like you're alone or like you're the only,
oh sure,
motherfucker on this shit.
It's amazing. Every teenager thinks they're,
yeah,
completely alone. It's like,
that's why music,
literally,
important.
Every one of you feels like this.
Exactly.
You know?
That's why music, and everyone connects through the music too. It's like,
it's true.
Know, that's why it's so important to us all. So I'm blessed to be able to do this shit. You know what I'm saying?
So from when you start messing around with producing, you know, using, mm-hmm, equipment left behind, like when does that make the jump to being an actual,
okay,
so you know,
actually, I'll tell you the story. So my first like, okay, there used to be a label called Moleman Records in Chicago.
Oh, yeah, I remember.
Right. And
by the Moleman.
Yeah, and G4 Records, and they was, mm-hmm, putting out Typical Cats and all that shit.
Dude, it's wild, like, not to interrupt, but it's like, it's wild to think that at a time in Chicago, and not even, like, in our lifetime, there was a time where, like, if you knew about Chicago hip-hop, it was because you did digging, and that was underground.
Exactly.
It's insane to think,
exactly,
now when Chicago hip-hop's the biggest thing we're known for. But,
it's
like,
crazy.
2001 or 2, if you
but
knew who Crucial Conflict or Mole Men were, you must have been, like, going to some shit.
For real. And I always try to tell people, like, we've always had an independent scene, and we've always had great music and great,
right,
artists. Now we're getting the spotlight, and now other people are seeing, but if you're from here, then you know.
You knew.
And so my cousin, you know, once again, I was hearing him play Typical Cats and Mole Men. And I was already, hip hop already had me. Like, I was,
right,
already, it was no question, that's me. But I had no, like, I had nobody from my city that really represented that I could look at, you know what I'm saying, and like hold close. So Mole Men and Typical Cats was like that for me. And then so I used to be on their message boards. And one day they were having a battle in Wicker Park, like in the basketball.
Oh my God.
In the basketball joint. And I was 14 years old at the time.
Just the message boards part alone.
Right.
And, like, and Wicker Park back
before
then.
Before Twitter, you know what I'm saying? Before all that shit. It
Wicker
was
Park back then was on a Walmart.
For real?
Yeah.
And it was like the actual park, like, you know, everybody plays with basketball court and shit. So I went out there to battle. I was 14 years old. My mom, like, drove me there, was like waiting in the crowd, like, 14 years old. My name was Infrared at the time.
Oh my
God.
You
might be able to find a video on YouTube. It was like 64 or some guys that day. I ended up placing like top 8.
Wow.
So I got to like battle in a club for the first time, like all this crazy shit. And I was 14 years old. So that's like how a lot of people met me. But then I kind of went silent for a few years because I was so hurt from losing the battle. And I, like, you know, just worked on my shit. I started DJing for people. I always MC, DJ, and made beats. So it,
right,
was like, they was at times they would like hurt each other, kind of like my development or whatever. Everything just took more time. But like times when I wasn't doing one thing, I could do the other. So I was DJing for a long time. I opened up a studio. I had legal troubles, you know, going in and out of jail and this and that. And I was still, you know, selling weed and shit. And that's how I met my homie with Mick Jenkins. He was looking for some weed one day, and that's just how the shit happened. So it's like,
what an amazing origin,
yeah,
story.
It's just
to
like
that.
Super organic, like, and so we just started kicking it. And
what year was this?
This
when
was
you
maybe
met him?
2014, I want to say. No, yeah, 2014, 2013, whenever Trees and Truths was coming out, when he
so
was
it's
recording
like,
that.
He, Mick Jenkins, wasn't really a known name.
Nah, not
just
at all.
Yet.
Definitely
it,
not.
It wasn't far off. Because I feel like
it
people started to
like
find out about him a couple years
up,
later.
We linked up, like, at the right time, and where it was, like, he was recording his album and needed somewhere to record.
Right.
I had a studio.
And the weed.
He needed beats. Me and all my friends had beats. So everything just worked out. And after that, he blew up. And we just... I told him he was finna blow up when I seen the video, the Martyrs video. And then he just blew up and boom. We started traveling, going everywhere. And it's just been a blur since
Well, and
then.
You know, Mick Jenkins is someone who... Not only does he have the talent and he has the skill and the chops to back everything up, but it's like he also was at the right place, right time. And I want to be very clear. I'm not saying right place, right time, like, oh, he lucked out. No, he has what it takes. He has the talent, but also he was one of the artists who was there at that moment when, like, Save Money and so many other things were coming up. So it's like that was a time where people were looking for more Chicago hip-hop
talent.
And
they were looking for an alternative to Chief Keef, really. Like, people were hating on Chief Keef so hard. And they were really looking for an alternative. And so when he did that Martyrs video, and it was kind of like the alternative, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
People really ran with it and took it. They, you know, they took it in weird ways to be like, he's like the enemy of that kind of shit. Or like, he don't listen to Chief Keef and shit. Like, we listen to all that shit. You know what I'm saying?
No,
like,
but people want to have that lazy narrative.
Yeah,
like,
they want
to It's either
it,
Chance
so
or Keef.
Like, we let y'all run with it. But like, at the end of the day, we listen to G Herbo. We listen to Keef. We listen to all that shit.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? So, I don't know. But it's funny how it works, you know.
So you link up with Mick Jenkins, you start doing some production, you start doing DJing with him. And when did the two of you know that it wasn't just kind of like fucking around in the studio? When did you know, like, oh man, this is like a real partnership? Like, this is something where, like, we have real value to add to each other.
I think I don't even think we ever, well, I don't know about his end, but on my end, I never really realized. I knew he was so talented, and I knew that, like, I could help him do what he wanted to do. And I kind of just focused on that more sort of like my own rhyming and shit for a while, until the point that he came back and he's like, yo, like, you need to rhyme. Like, you one of the best rappers that I know. Like, you got to do it. So I'm like, shit, if he's saying that shit, you know what I'm saying, it must be true. So he got me, like, you know, back in the booth and paying more attention to rhyming and shit, because, you know, I'll just always do it for fun. But he's like, nah, you could make some money, like, woo-woo-woo. So... But I don't know. It kind of just happened, like, naturally, just going on.
Because the two of you were already close.
Right.
Yeah,
but
absolutely.
When we started going on tour and shit and doing all these things, we became closer, because it's like, we the only people that have these experiences together. Like, I can't go. I got all kind of homies, and we all very close, like brothers, but we don't have all these lists of experiences that only me and him had. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, that brought us closer. Like,
well, yeah, that's that bond.
Yeah.
That's that, like, yeah, you can't replicate that. You can't purchase with somebody. It's like, you can only earn that through life experiences.
And it comes with time. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know about him at first. He didn't know about me at first. You know what I'm saying? We just had to sit with each other over time and, like, boom, boom, boom.
Man, that's a real sweet, inspiring story, honestly. Like,
For real.
I don't mean that to sound dismissive.
That's right,
I mean,
kids,
like,
stay around weed. Hey, you know what I'm saying? That's all you
need. Weed will change your life. It'll introduce you. But it is a real, like, it's almost this kind of like Rogan Franco bromance type story. You know what I mean? Like, there's something really sweet about that.
Hey, if you say so.
Yeah. So
they go here and be mad at me. They're talking about romance.
I don't mean romance, but you know what I mean? Like, it's just
I
think it's a very inspiring kind of partnership.
It's a good friendship.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, and it's authentic, and I think we both know that. You know what I'm saying? It's like,
yeah,
I ain't got to question his shit. He don't need shit from me. You know what I'm saying?
There's something to be said. You know what? So I was listening to a podcast about Penn and Teller.
Oh,
and Penn
word.
And Teller, you know,
yo,
they're
funny as fuck.
Yo, for real. And so it was Penn Jillette being interviewed by Kevin Smith, the filmmaker, and Kevin Smith's asking about their, you know, relationship, their working relationship. And he's like, yeah, you know, we've been working together every day for X amount of years. And he's like, when we're done with the show, we don't fucking talk to each other. You know, like, because, like, they know everything they have to say to each other.
There's, like, no reason to talk.
So there's just, like, they already have that. Everything is unsaid at that point. And there's something to be said for that level of, like,
That definitely is a thing. Like, that's definitely a thing. And it's more apparent when, like, other people come around and you're like, why is this dude talking? Like, shut the fuck up. You know what I'm saying? Like, man, we just did a show. We trying to go kick it. Like,
right.
Everybody knows what the plan is. You know what I'm saying? We gonna finna go smoke. That's the type. We both love weed.
Yeah.
And we love music. So that type of shit, like,
it's easy.
It just, he know, we travel together, we smoke together, all over the world, you know what I'm saying? So, that's definitely part of it. Like,
so how many times have you gone on tour, either with Mick or
in
general?
I can't count.
A number, though.
I lost count, but it's been a lot.
All right, that's amazing.
It's been constant for, like, the last 4 years, I want to say. 4 or 5 years. It's been constant. So our first tour was with Redman and Method Man.
Holy shit. And so that had to feel full circle.
Right, because I was literally, I was sitting in jail. First time I got locked up, I was sitting in jail. And, you know, hey, first time you get locked up, it's a big, you know,
I can't even imagine. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You think real hard.
Yeah.
And all I could think was, when I get out this motherfucker, I'm going to go on tour. And I want to go on tour with Redman and Method Man. My life's going to be like, How High. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to do it. Like, this is what I wanted my whole life. Fuck it. I'm
going to
do it. You know what I'm saying? And all my friends thought it was hilarious. Like, they thought it was great that I had that drive, but they thought it was hilarious at the same time because it was impossible. It was literally impossible. Redman and Method Man were not on tour. They hadn't gone on tour in 10 years. You know what I'm saying? Fucking none of my homies are on tour, so it's like double impossible.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, boom, 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 we're going on tour. Oh, shit. We're opening up for Redman and Method Man and Be Real. So, like, literally...
My God, so you got Cypress Hill in there?
Right.
Yeah.
Minus Snoop, the top smokers.
Right, I was just going to say, like, that must have been the fucking highest tour ever.
Exactly.
Right.
And they showing me love when we smoking it. I felt like, man, it was
Did you
crazy.
Have a moment where you're like, did I die at some point? Like, is this?
I had to pinch myself a couple times. Like, is this real?
Right.
Like, I was in San Francisco spinning some shit. People Under the Stairs, San Francisco Nights. It's a dope-ass song, chill as fuck. And Redman comes running out the fucking green room. And he's one of my favorite rappers. And he was like, yo, what is this? He had a video camera and everything. He's like, what the fuck is
before
this?
Before Pandora.
What is this? And I was like, right before Shazam and shit.
That's what I meant, Shazam,
this is
yeah.
People Under the Stairs, man. He was like, yo, this shit is dope. I'm like, yo, Redman said my shit is dope.
Like, you turned Redman onto something. Shit. That's amazing.
For real. And so we just, you know, we smoking and all that shit. It was great, man. It was like a dream. And then after that, you know, then I felt like the torch was passed.
Right.
After that, Mick got booked to speak at Harvard twice.
That's amazing.
So we've been to Harvard twice smoking hella blunts. You know what I'm saying? Like, crazy. And it literally, my life was how high at that moment. Like,
that's incredible. And you, I mean, there had to be something so incredibly rewarding about, like, going from having the experience of, like, being in jail to getting invited to Harvard.
Right.
Was there just a sense of, like, fuck everyone.
Did this. Like, fuck y'all. And especially because the whole time it was for something that I was, like, getting punished for my whole life. You know what I'm saying? My whole life, like, weed is never... Weed's cool, like, now publicly, but, like,
when
I
was
coming
up... Yeah, all of a sudden everybody's fine with it.
Yeah, it was not cool. Like, my whole life has not been cool. My whole life is I've been demonized for the shit, like... Not just jail, but, you know, school, your family, your friends, when you're young. You know what I mean? Like,
now it's this thing like white women do with
bullshit
yoga.
I went through hella bullshit for a week.
Yeah.
And then at the end of the day, it came and paid me back, tapped me on the shoulder. Hey, you know what I'm saying? I love you too. Boom, take this. And I'm like, damn. Like, it just showed me don't give up on what you fucking believe in. You know what I'm saying? No matter what the fuck you got to go through. If you got to go to jail a couple times, you know what I'm saying? Fuck it.
You gotta go to jail a couple times to get to Harvard. That is,
you know,
I don't know if there's a more
Harvard,
inspirational fucking
me?
Story.
You feel me?
That's amazing.
That's how I feel walking around Harvard. I'm interrupting classes.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They talking about crazy shit. I'm walking in there loud as fuck. Ooh, you know. And they still show us respect. So it's like, it
that's
just
amazing.
Feels good. You know what I'm saying?
I got to do, you know, with this podcast, I got invited to a podcasting workshop that was happening at Harvard a year ago or so. And I'm somebody
you see
who,
the hip hop library?
No, I only like got to spend time in one building, but it's like I'm someone who has not finished my bachelor's degree.
Right. Same.
It's not a secret. Like, I don't have a bachelor's degree, and I'm teaching right now at Columbia College, but I don't have a bachelor's degree. And to get invited to do anything at Harvard Business School, I was just like, how the fuck? Like,
I
you know,
you.
It was a wild feeling.
I kind of like got kicked out. I had to leave school because I got caught allegedly with like 7 pounds of weed. But you know what I'm saying? That's alleged. I dropped out of 2 film schools, you know what I'm saying? I went back to school after that, dropped out again, like, shit just wasn't working, like...
Everyone has their path, though, you know, and you found yours, and it doesn't necessarily have to happen in a classroom.
Exactly, and it definitely, and I've always felt like that my whole life, but it just, you know, my family, and it just wasn't happening. There was no fucking way they were going to let me quit school, you know what I'm saying, to leave. So, like, getting arrested and having to leave was, like, the perfect thing to happen to me. Like, it couldn't happen any other way.
That's, I mean, for real, that is genuinely inspiring.
Yeah, and it's fucking nuts. And I try to tell people all the time, because, like, in those times, it was so hectic, bro. Like, they was telling me I was going to jail for 5 years.
Oh, minimum. My God. I can't, like, even imagine.
Like, a minimum of 5 years. You feel me? Like, after you do 5 years, we'll talk about it.
That had to feel so hopeless.
Yeah, and all my homies was making songs like Free Slime, and everybody thought I was going to jail. I was making all the preparations. Everybody thought I was going to jail. And I ended up getting 3 years probation.
Wow.
Came back home. I worked in a warehouse like fucking 8 Mile for like 2-3 years.
That's what I was going to say. This is literally fucking 8 Mile,
I worked in a warehouse. I saved up my money, and I got a studio, and I just started having a hell of people come through the studio. Started recording hella shit. That's where we recorded all mixed shit. Recorded a bunch of stuff. All your favorite Chicago artists
come through there.
Recorded in there, you know, from the everybody, you know what I'm saying?
This is honestly one of the most... I have done about 900 episodes of this. I'm not kidding. And this is probably one of the most inspiring chats we have ever had on this podcast, man.
I want people to know. That's why, like, whenever I get on... You know, the mic, I don't always want to say my past, you know, where I came from and shit, but it's like, it's so necessary. Like, you know, a lot of people in my that come from that, they would think it's corny to, like, be talking about it and shit. But it's like, I have to talk about it because it's so fucking crazy. Like, to literally be sitting in the cell, like, I'm going to go on tour with Redman and Method Man, and it'd be impossible and do that shit. Like,
and then to get to Harvard.
Yeah, like, that's just like, all this shit has been crazy. And that's just, like, one thing, like... It's so much more. Like, I just did a show for Ghostface. I just opened up for Ghostface.
Wow.
We had another show with Ghostface in Montreal at a jazz festival. We the only rappers there. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
And it's shit like that all over the world. South Africa, only other rapper was Mos Def. You know what I'm saying? He inviting us to his crib and shit after the show. Like, all kind of crazy shit. Like, everywhere we go, man, like, some crazy shit happens. I'm just like, damn, I can't believe this shit.
Do you wish you could go back and tell your younger self stealing Wu-Tang tapes from your cousin what the future was going to look like and be like,
nah,
guess what,
man,
you know who you're hearing on this?
I wouldn't even tell him because really, like, my younger self was, there was no doubt really with him. Like, it was just like, I don't know how to explain it. I was so pure, you feel
right,
me?
Right.
That he didn't question whether this shit was going to happen. It wasn't until later in life when, like, you start getting older and shit's not happening and you're sitting
in jail.
So
when the doubt comes in.
You're like, oh, shit, maybe I was wrong. You feel me? But, like, younger me always knew. Younger me was, like, super dedicated, super. He said, fuck everything else. He said, fuck school. He said, fuck college. He said, fuck. He was always on music. So it paid off for him. You know what I'm saying? Like, I really just be living my dreams, my younger self's dreams. You feel me? Like,
There's something really, like, just, again, inspiring about that. And, you know, and it's interesting you brought up 8
and
Mile.
And I'm finding new ones.
Yeah. I watched 8 Mile the other day. I haven't seen it in probably a decade and a half.
It's a good move.
And I was like, hey, this holds up. It doesn't feel dated because there's no cell phones in it. So, like, it's not like, oh, they're using old phones. But it holds up, and it's actually still legitimately...
And it's inspiring.
Inspiring. And
it's
Eminem
inspiring.
Was... big then, but he was also still kind of an underdog because he had, like, the reputation in America.
Eminem was always big for me, too, as an MC. He was always one of my a strong influence.
Well, I mean, Eminem's wordplay in his prime was just untouchable.
Ridiculous.
Now, you don't have to agree with everything he was rhyming about because some of that could be called into question, but, like, but it's just his actual flow was just, like, unreal.
Like, his viewpoint of the game, like, I'm coming in and I'm fucking this shit up. I don't give a fuck.
Well, he had the anger of, like, a Nine Inch Nails or a Marilyn Manson, but he wasn't packaging it that way.
Right.
You know, it didn't sound like Nine Inch Nails, even though he had the same worldview as, you know, a Marilyn Manson. But it's like, it was a totally different flavor.
I used to love Slim Shady, man. Slime Shady, that's what they call it. I actually wrote an Eminem diss, like, a few months ago.
Oh, my God.
Because I don't like his new music, but...
Oh, man, it bums me out. If you were there in his prime and then you listen to the new stuff, like, he did a song with, like, Ed Sheeran, and I'm like...
Yeah. What
man,
the fuck,
I'm
man?
Like, if there's somebody old Eminem would have hated, it's Ed Sheeran.
Like, can I see old Eminem battle the new Eminem? Can I see
that? Oh, my God, that'd be a, be a
what
massacre.
What the fuck is going on?
Yeah.
He's, you know, popped out.
Yeah.
He's all popped now. I don't get it.
Well, okay, so something totally different, but something we haven't even touched on is the show.
Oh, yeah.
Green
Forgot
Slimes,
about
Broke Ass, like...
Low budget show. All
right, so bring us into the show, because this is something that's really cool.
Right.
It is Well, I'm going to let you explain it because I think it's fucking awesome.
Okay, so, you know, I MC, DJ, make beats. I do a lot of things, and people say you can't always do all these things. You need to focus on one. I always felt like, fuck that. I'm going to do what I want to do. One night I was asleep, and I just had this vision of the fucking show. I had a dream, I guess is what they call it, of me hosting this show. And I popped out of bed. It was probably like 3 a.m. I popped out of bed, and I instantly went to my computer and just started writing shit down. And then I started pulling inspiration from things like, really the only thing at the time was fucking this dude, God, what's his name? Damn, I can't even fucking remember right now. But he's in jail right now. He had the dopest podcast. Fuck. I can't remember. I can't believe I don't remember his name right now. It's fucked up. But anyway, he went to jail for the Troy Ave shooting and shit. Mm-hmm. But it's fucked up. I don't remember his name right now. But anyway, that's the whiskey. I started listening to that and watching Nori's podcast and looking at Eric Andre's show. Mm-hmm. And all those things, you know, I liked them. I felt like that was already coming from me. Like, that was already my style. So, you know, I hit my homies up. We talked, and boom, 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 we started shooting. And everybody just kind of, you know, met it with open arms. All the artists have been happy to come through, and it's just been great, you know.
Yeah, and the show, if anyone hasn't seen it, A, they should go listen to it right now. What's the website?
It's slimeworld.com.
Go watch it, not just listen to it.
SLLIMEworld.com.
Slime World, slime with two L's. So yep. Go watch some episodes of the show at Slime World. Again, slime with two L's. Go watch some episodes right now. But, like, if you haven't seen it, it has this incredible, like, low-budget DIY, like, you know, public access TV. It's like something like a mix of like Wayne's World meets Adult Swim meets like Eric Andre. It's so weird.
Here's the thing. My guys, my friend Jackson Duncan over at 119.
Mm-hmm.
Chicago based, our style already was like that low budget type shit. So when we seen it being represented by other people, we were like, oh shit, we could do this, you know what I'm saying? Because I really wanted to be a message to everybody, you know, inspiration again. Like, we all, at least I know for me and my friends, we all have this like misconception that like everything has to be expensive and you have a big budget and shit has to be on point and look great and this and that. And it holds a lot of people off from being creative because you're like, I don't have the resources to do this and that like I want to.
Right.
So I wanted to say, fuck that. Throw that out the window. Like, do it with whatever you got. Just
create with what you have. Yeah. Right. Yeah, yeah,
and,
yeah.
Like, that shit, at the end of the day, people like that shit because it's like, oh, I could do that too. Or they're like, you know, it just, it resonates more. You feel me? So,
yeah, no, I mean, 100%. I love that that thought. Like, I say this a lot in this podcast. I teach an entrepreneurship class at Columbia College, and I tell my students that I'm like, look, you guys have access to smartphones. You can download, you know, Adobe apps. You can get, like, a free version of Pro Tools.
You probably got people that want a whole studio and this and that, but you got your computer. That's, you could do it with that.
You can do so much.
You
and
can
it's
do
like,
it with your phone.
And yeah, in a perfect world, we would all have access to the same stuff Drake does, but that's not that's not reality, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, but if you let that hold you back, you know, I have done versions of this podcast where I'm recording the parts that it's just me, just like, you know, an intro or whatever.
Right.
I've done stuff like that on my phone underneath a heavy blanket.
Right.
And I feel stupid as hell doing it, but it's, you know, and this was
you
like years back before I had real equipment, but it got the job done.
You gotta do what you gotta do.
Yeah.
And so I know for me personally that it held me back for years, you know, thinking it's something had to be a certain quality, whether it was beats, raps, whatever, just thinking it had to be this certain quality held me back for years. So just like getting loose of that and just having fun is what I wanted to do. And I also wanted to acknowledge artists that I felt like, you know, that inspired me day to day. I wanted to acknowledge them and give them a place to, you know, shout them out and give them their roses. You feel me? Because a lot of, we all here.
Right.
But, you know, a lot of people don't get that praise until you make it out or make it big or whatever.
There's definitely a weird stigma of, like, kind of people don't always want to give props to other artists or creatives until someone like Fader or Coachella does.
You know,
and then they all want to be like on Twitter, like, oh, yeah, that's my guy. Like,
exactly. I didn't want to do that. I wanted to do the opposite.
Right.
I feel like me, I've been in that pool of people You know what I'm saying? I felt unnoticed at times. I felt whatever. I wish there was somebody that, you know what I'm saying, was like, yo,
like we
know,
see
shouted
you.
Me out. You
right,
know what
right,
I'm saying?
Right,
so
yeah.
I'm like, yo, I'm gonna be that guy. And boom, I think this person's dope as fuck. I think that person's dope as fuck. I'm gonna have them come through. Boom, boom, boom. And it's just, I've been amazed by how open people have been to it. You feel me?
Like,
you,
the lineup you've had, just a few of the names you've had, and they're all Chicago artists. GLC,
yeah,
huge. You had Saba, Psalm
huge.
1,
yeah.
The Mind, Smino, Katie Got Fans. I mean, you've had,
yep.
How many? You've done about 15 episodes or so?
Something like that, 15, 16, yeah.
Yeah, and it's all been primarily, I think, Chicago.
Yeah, all Chicago
talent,
so far.
Really
killer
Chicago talent.
I got a couple out-of-state porn stars that are
Come
coming
on.
Soon.
Really, living the dream.
Some out-of-state porn stars, very big names.
I love
you know
it.
What I'm saying that are coming in soon, you know.
Respect.
Tiana Trump.
All
you know
right.
What I'm saying stuff like that. I don't want to say it too loud, but you know.
But doing the, yeah, it's a secret between us. We're just talking into a microphone that's recording
it's
a podcast.
Just on a podcast for
sure.
The whole world.
Right. So when you're bringing somebody like a Saba or a Smino or, you know, Katie Got Bands or like these people who are in Chicago are your
yeah.
peers and your, I would imagine some of them are your friends and collaborators.
Right.
Like, how does that feel getting to talk to your peers? Not just like one-on-one, but like making a platform for that.
Well, first of all, everybody that's been on my show, I'm a fan of.
Yeah.
So.
Well, they're all incredible talents.
Right. If I'm lucky enough to have been your peer prior to that, then that's just what it is. You know, for Saba, Smino, Saba, I've been watching him forever.
Man,
right?
Like his come up has been
yeah,
amazing.
I've been watching him forever. If you've been in Chicago, you've been watching him forever. You
yeah,
know
we've
what
all
saying?
Seen.
Like,
yeah.
Everybody's seen that shit. Smino is a great new talent. You know what I'm saying? But I went on tour with him, with Mick, before I heard any of his music.
Right.
So I bonded with him on that, again, over weed and backwoods and shit. I bonded with him that way. So it's different for every person. Like, most people that come on the show, I'm friends with. Like, we have some kind of relationship with friends. They know me. I know them. It's people like Katie Got Bands.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know her. I had never met her until she came on the show. GLC, I had met a couple times, but, you know, we're not friends. I wish we
were.
Well,
was. And he's kind of from, like, the a couple creative classes back. And,
right.
Like, all respect
exactly.
to GLC, man. He's, like,
he
kind of
Grammys
an elder statesman.
Shit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like,
GLC
that's somebody
got
who's.
Grammys.
He's not on the come up. He's.
Right.
He's been here.
So that was, like, a big stepping stone for me to do GLC. That was, like.
I was going to say, when I saw that,
stamp.
As somebody who books interviews with Chicago talent,
yeah.
Like a lot of when I was looking through, I'm like, all right, I've had. Not like a competition, but I was like, oh, cool, I've had Saba. And then I saw GLC. I was like, I should reach
GLC.
Out to GLC.
Yo,
like
GLC is one of the most knowledgeable, smartest,
I can't even imagine.
Fucking dudes ever. And he's really, like, to me, a blueprint of what you should do, you know, in the industry. He don't always be in the spotlight and, whoa, this and that, but he does work on the ground with people. You know what I'm
yeah.
saying? He has a lot of different businesses that are all beneficial to people.
Well, he's
you know
one of these guys like Rhymefest, who's just, he's been
right.
here.
And
he has been on the ground.
Rhymefest, you might not always see him in the spotlight, but you can never say Rhymefest is not beneficial to the people. Like, Rhymefest is a positive force.
No matter what Kim
culture.
Kardashian says,
right.
Rhymefest has been doing the work.
Hey, Rhymefest, you ain't got to say it. I say it for you. Fuck Kim Kardashian. You know what I'm saying?
I just think she chose the wrong fight in that
real.
Moment. I was like,
for anybody else, I got like 6 tapes dropping this year. You know what I'm saying? So if Kanye a genius, I am too. You know
yeah, absolutely.
And Kylie Jenner, holla at me. You know what I'm saying? Or whichever one of y'all that's of age.
If I thought Kylie Jenner was listening to this podcast, man,
she might be. You never know, man.
Man, you never know. That'd be amazing.
I
Kylie
went to
Jenner
college with Travis Scott DJ, who's on the same floor. You know what I'm saying?
It's so true. It's a small world.
You never know. It's a small world. You know what I mean?
So the show, it's this incredible DIY,
right.
late night, public access feeling
right.
thing. Are you recording it out of your studio?
Yeah, recording it out of my friend Jackson's studio up north. He has like a video production studio, you know, green screen and all that shit.
I was going to say, you got the chroma key. It's like,
right.
yeah, yeah, yeah.
But like the background you see is literally, like we used to smoke weed in Jackson's house, in Jackson's basement all day in high school. And he took his walls from his like room, cause he bought all those albums that you see in the background on the show.
I was gonna say, see, like, he's got like the old college dropout poster. Yeah,
those are all his. He bought all of those. So when we used to smoke at his crib, that was what his fucking walls was in his bedroom and
right.
in the fucking living room and shit. So he just took all that shit and put it in the studio. You feel me? So that's like one backdrop, and then we got the green screen. So he done made a lot of shit happen. For me, you know what I'm saying?
It's a remarkable production, and like I said, it's really fun. It's very, when I was watching it, I was like, this feels so different from what I do with this podcast, because I feel like my podcast is very, like, it's just a different energy, and I'm not remotely saying it's better, but it's just like, what I admired about yours is, like, you guys look like you're having so much fun. You guys
are
smoking weed, and, like,
you feel me? I don't have any training. I'm just like,
it's less of, like, just like a straightforward one-on-one sit-down. It's like, you guys are shooting all sorts of shit, and, like, people are walking around. It's a party.
It's kind of just like turn on the cameras and whatever happens, happens. And you know, I like that. And I've seen people give so many interviews, you know, from the other side. Like, if I go with Mick to an interview, he's pissed off. He's like, fuck, I gotta go do this shit. And it's usually, like, boring.
Right.
You feel me? And they ask the same questions that they asked the last 10 interviews. So I wanted to make it different and just throw you a loop. You feel me? Like, I want to get you drunk. I want to get you high. I want to just
see what happens.
Horrible, embarrassing things. And I want to, and you're going to say something.
And at least make it fun. Right. And I will say this. Something
and I
don't
never embarrass nobody too bad. You know what I'm saying?
No. But I'll say this. As somebody who interviews a lot of musicians and a lot of Chicago artists, it's like, I'm always kind of stunned by how many times I'll hear from an artist afterwards, like, oh my God, thanks for doing your research. And I'm like, what do you mean? They're like, most of the time I sit down with these interviews, they don't even know who I am.
Yeah.
And I'm always, like, floored, because it's not like,
man,
I don't spend 2 days researching. I might spend, like, half an hour doing prep, but, like,
it's bad.
It's amazing how much it sounds like other people are not even doing that.
Dude, it's bad. It's, like, offensive to a point. And that's why a lot of artists that I know are pissed. Because you get... Me, when I... If it's somebody that I don't know, like with Katie Got Bands and GLC, I looked at their other interviews.
Right.
And I wanted to make sure that I didn't ask the same questions.
Right.
Because I know how that shit is. That shit is fucking boring. And it's like, sometimes artists are insulted. Like, damn, dude, like... You don't even know me. You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't even...
Well, even, and like, when I reached out to you, because I couldn't find your email online when I reached out to you on Twitter, I'm so, like, even though I've done this for a million years, I'm always, like, there's a chance the other person's going to be like, no, I don't want to fucking do that.
Yeah.
So when I sent the tweet out to you, I was, like, saying a silent prayer. I'm like, please, like, I don't know who you are. Please don't be like... Fuck you, why are you tweeting me? Like, in front of all of Chicago Twitter.
I'm not even that guy.
No, you were so nice, you responded right away.
My homie Jackson, once again, I was on a plane.
Right.
So I landed, and I got all these texts. I'm like, what the fuck? And I look at my text, and Jackson, I think he's in here, but he was like, dude, you gotta do this podcast. And I was like, what the fuck are you talking about? Because I just read my text. And then so I go to Twitter before he responds, and I see everything. I'm like, oh. Of course. Like, this looks cool. Boom.
Well, I'm so thankful, man, because, like...
I'm not an asshole. I'm just
No. And I wouldn't assume that you are, but, again, like, you just never know. You throw it out on Twitter in front of everybody.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to, like... It's kind of like asking a girl out in high school in front of all of your friends. And, like, you're like, there's a 50% chance.
I understand. I've taken that shot a couple times online and got no response from people. Hey, come on my show. Nothing. You
right.
know what I'm saying? So.
And then just like, you look like you're the guy who's trying to high five somebody and the other person didn't see it, but everyone saw you with your arm up and you're like, oh.
It fucking sucks. But fuck it. I feel like that's my brand. If it happens to me, it happens. Whatever.
Yeah, man. But I dig the show. Are there new episodes on the way?
Oh, yeah. We've got, right now we have 3 episodes shot that are getting edited. I think the next episode, well, it's no point in saying. I don't know when this is coming out, but.
This will be up next week. So, like, right now we're in Lollapalooza week. So, this is going to go up the week after Lollapalooza.
So, as this is dropping, the Felix episode should be coming out as well.
Okay.
So, if you don't know Felix, go check him out. He's super fucking talented. And then we got a few more. Xavier Holiday, my friend Sage, the 64th Wonder.
Yeah, we just had him on the podcast.
Yeah,
and he's awesome.
He's nuts.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's going to...
A.K.A. Lunch.
Yeah, Lunch. Lunch Raps. He's always changing his name.
Right.
So he's super creative. He's one of my favorite guys in Chicago. Just does him. You feel me?
Yeah.
And then, of course, you know, like I said, we got the porn stars coming through. I'm trying to branch out. I'm going to branch out. But I don't really want to, like, give too much shine to rappers that's not from Chicago. You feel me? Like, if you're not from here...
There's so much talent here.
Yeah, like, you got to do something else. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you got to be a porn star, actor, some type of shit. You know what I mean? Like...
Yeah.
We got enough rappers in Chicago. I want
to... You don't need
spotlight
to outsource.
...on my city, because I feel like we're the best. I've been all over the world, man, and nobody has no shit like Chicago, and everybody recognizes that shit...
It's true.
...immediately, and are drawn to us, so... I'd rather just keep pushing us out. You feel me?
I love it, man. Man, Slime, a.k.a. Green Slime.
Yeah.
Dude, this has been a killer fucking podcast.
I'll come back. You feel me? I could come back. It's
please
whatever,
do.
Man.
We bring guests back, you
I
know.
I like to talk. I got lots of stories.
Clearly, like... And again, like, I didn't know you before. I mean, I knew of your work.
Right.
But I didn't know you personally. We'd never met. We'd never talked before. And sometimes when I sit down with someone for the first time, it's fine. You know, it's just kind of like a normal interview. But, man, I feel like we could have gone for, like, 2 more hours, man. I love it. Please, let's do more together. This
let's
was an absolute blast, man. And keep
let's
up the great work with everything.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
I appreciate you. Thank you.
I guess I'm an interviewer, so interviewer to interviewer, you feel me? Journalist to journalist.
Yeah. I love it, man. Keep up the good work.
I appreciate it. You too. Boom.
You've been listening to a production of Dynasty Podcasts. Find more Dynasty Podcasts at dynastypodcast.com. For the Dynamic Dynasty, Dynasty Descend.